I remember having a take maybe a month ago or so that I was like kicking myself for it because I've succumbed to something that I always kind of poo-poo people when they do this, where every year, whenever you're getting ready to, you know, and it's usually a recruiting time of year, and then you think about spring football and heading into next year and holes and gaps and question marks. And it's always a lot easier in some people's mind to assume that the new players coming in are the answers and not the existing players. Because there's just a reality to life that sometimes sometimes the best thing that someone has going for them is the element of the unknown. You know, there's always something about, you know, how they do some game shows where they're like, you can have this prize or what's behind in the mystery box or behind door number two. And there's always some sort of allure to, well, what is in that mystery? What's in that box, you think? What's behind door number two? Even though you know what you have here, you still are like, what is behind that? And what ends up happening is oftentimes your mind is more optimistic than you think. And there are so many times your mind gives you the best case scenario. So whatever is in that mystery box in your mind, it might be a scorpion in there, and you're like, oh boy, it might be something really good. And so that always ends up taking hold as you're starting to assess question marks for a team next year. And I've slowly kind of been succumbing to that. What's in the mystery box? What's behind door number two? Where, depending on what happens with Maurice Washington for one of these, I'm at the point where I'm not so sure that heading into next year, that if I would make like my five most important players list, that I wouldn't have two newcomers on it. And it's like, come on, Nick, you're now, I just want everybody to know, by me uttering that sentence, I've become all the things that I've made fun of over the last like 10 years. Because we all, like, this is how it's always been. Every year, these newcomers come in, and they're going to be the next greatest thing ever, and people get way too, the hype train gets way out of control. But I'm not so sure that Dedrick Mills and Wandell Robinson aren't on my list of two of the top five most important players next year. And by saying that, There is maybe an element of, boy, am I already punting on, no pun intended, but pun intended, am I punting on all of the returning wide receivers outside of J.D. Spielman, obviously? Because that's what this is. You need someone other than J.D. Spielman to catch a pass and make a play and be a viable threat. And depending on what happens with Maurice Washington, but even with Maurice Washington, you need somebody else to come in and be able to provide a viable backup punch at the running back spot. But especially if Washington doesn't come in the fold, oh boy, you really need someone at the running back spot. I'm not so sure that I wouldn't put Mills and Wandell Robinson on my list of two of the top five most important Huskers next year. And that is a dramatic change to how I've usually approached things, but I also think that's maybe a window into how I view the crop of those returning guys. I'm just not sure if I've seen enough from any of those returning running backs or returning wide receivers for me to want to give any of them more than a benefit of the doubt over Wandell Robinson or Dedrick Mills. And the one thing that Dedrick Mills has over Wyatt Mazur and Brody Belt and Ronald Tompkins and Ramir Johnson and Jalen Bradley is that he has gotten it done, relatively speaking, at this level before. Again, the guy rushed for 771 yards and 12 touchdowns at Georgia Tech. Not Georgia State, Georgia Tech. So he's going against Clemson, North Carolina, like real Florida State. Like he's going against real ACC defenses. So I'm doing a little bit more assuming, I think, with Wandale Robinson than I am Mills. Mills is more of a proven product than a lot of other newcomers. Like people go, what about Greg Bell? Well, Greg Bell didn't rush for 771 yards and 12 touchdowns in the ACC prior to his arrival at Nebraska. Yes, he was the number one rated junior college running back. And yes, he did come in with a lot of hoopla. But there was more of an element of assumption with him than I think there is with Mills. And depending on what ends up happening with Maurice Washington, Mills, super important. And when I look at the wide receiver spot, I'm just not sure if anybody has emerged yet. And the reality is no one's going to be able to probably change anyone's mind until the season comes and they start actually trying to get it done in a game. But I'm not sure there's anybody that's emerged yet, whether it's a Jerron Woodyard or an Andre Hunt or a Miles Jones, that has made me feel like, yep, that guy can be an absolute viable number two wide receiver option after J.D. Spielman. And so I'm definitely doing some assuming with Rondale Robinson. There's no question about that. Because, I mean, again, the guy's never played a down of Division I football. But there is an element to, if enough people are saying something, you go, eh. The way this guy was talked about coming out of high school, the player comparisons to Rondale Moore, the fact that the way this staff recruited Wandale Robinson. Like, I'm not so sure if I'm writing down so far, it's a very short thing to assess, but in Scott Frost and this coaching staff's tenure at Nebraska, who have they recruited the hardest to get? I think you'd have to put Adrian Martinez on that list. I know it was a short amount of time, but they were really recruiting that guy hard. Well, clearly that guy, big time. And then I'm not so sure it isn't Wandale Robinson. When you think about the fact that he had, he's getting recruited. He was a silent commit to Nebraska, and then he actually committed to Kentucky. And usually some coaches back off even after a guy's committed, but Nebraska refused to stay off the guy. They continue to stay on him. They end up flipping the commitment. He's come to Nebraska. There was the infamous Twitter picture of pretty much every single person on the staff at Wandale Robinson's in-home visit. They don't send out everybody on the staff to one place all the time, pretty much never. That's telling. You can say you love a guy, but your actions speak louder than words at times. And the actions of getting everybody on. I mean, think about it. At some point, Frost had to pick up his phone or call a meeting and say, hey, Chenander, Walters, all you got, hey, Held, can you guys come in here? Travis Fisher, can you come in here? Yeah, Barrett, you two come in here. So next Tuesday is the in-home with Wandale. I think we all need to be there. I think we all need to be there to really show how important he is to us and show him and his family what this spot's all about for him. You think Frost does that for does anybody? How about no? How about no? So, that's the kind of stuff that I read the tea leaves of and go, okay. So you add that up with all the hype around him and you go, okay, there might be something here, a little something here. So I feel like I'm succumbing to all the things that I used to make fun of, but I'm not so sure that the two of the five most important Huskers heading into next year aren't newcomers in Mills and Wandale Robinson. I'm now everything I have made fun of. Is that good? It's not good at all. All right, got a thought? Get it in. 402-951-1620. You can email nick@1620thezone.com. You can hit me on Twitter @NickBaugh. Game time.